Welcome to the Magic Potion Podcast, where a sprinkle and a dash can enhance your class. Listen to learn about tools, techniques, and stories from educators on ways to improve your lessons, create a positive culture, and much more. In today's episode, we're going to talk about professional development and how to make it your own. I'm your host, Kevin Reinemann. Now let's make it happen. Hi, thanks for joining me today. We're going to talk about professional development and how to make it yours. First and foremost, I want to say thank you. If you're taking the time to listen to this podcast, more than likely you are involved in education in some way, shape, or form. You may be an administrator, a teacher, maybe an aide, or, you know, like myself, a director of technology. What you do on a day-to-day basis is for the kids. And when you're taking time out of your day, when you're not on the clock, so to say, to find information, to learn about different techniques and ideas, to make yourself better in the classroom, that's why teachers are so special. That's why those in education are different than others. It's a 24/7 job. You know, some people may only work the, 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock, but the true teachers out there, the ones that do it with a passion, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It can't be said enough. Keep doing what you're doing. It's all for the kids at the end of the day. So on those same lines, let's move into today's topic, professional development, how to make it your own. You know, we've all been there. We've been in professional development or even just staff meetings where it could have just been handled in an email. Seriously, it's something that could have been, calendar dates. Those can be sent out in an email. We get it. You know, we might not necessarily read it right away. You know, we're not always the best at using email as an instant form of communication as we once were. But one of the books I read recently was by a gentleman, Rich Chiz. It's called The 4 o'clock Faculty, A Rogue Guide to Revolutionizing Professional Development. And one of the things that really sticks out in that book to me is this quote by Rich that says, "Learning is learning, no matter when. It is even possible you might learn something you should never do." And if you sit back and think about those meetings that you go to or those professional development that are maybe geared towards different grade levels or different content areas than what you teach, you can easily fall into the trap of just sitting there and daydreaming or playing games on your phone. You know, the things that we don't want our kids to do in the classroom, we ourselves find a way to end up doing it. We end up being those students that we wish we didn't have in class, so to say. But if you look at that, it's the content that's not grabbing your attention. And to shift a little bit, you know, that comes on you. You are the professional here. You got to find a way to make the best of the situation. So if you have not read that book, The 4 o'clock Faculty by Rich Chiz, I highly recommend picking that up, especially if you're somebody that facilitates professional development for your school, for your district, or you go around and give presentations around the state, around the country, wherever you may go. It's fantastic for finding ways to deliver professional development to help not have those situations where people are bored and sitting in the back and just playing games or scrolling through emails, whatever it is they may be doing. I usually make a joke whenever I walk into a meeting and there's always the same people sitting into the back of the room. And it always seems those same people are the ones that are talking the entire time through the meeting. And that really comes down to the presentation style and everything. But we'll get into that a little bit more later. As a presenter, I've gone around to, I've mostly stuck in my state of Ohio here. I'd like to go out further. I've presented down at the Future of Education Technology Conference down in Orlando, Florida. That conference is amazing. I really hope to go back to that in the future. But as a presenter, what I can tell you is it felt a lot like when I was in the classroom with my students. You feel the energy. You know, if you're up there just speaking, you're not going to get a whole lot of feedback. Because a lot of times the people in the audience, they want your information. They're definitely taking something away. They're writing notes. They're going to share information back with their staffs when they get there, but they're not necessarily having a great time. You know, as educators, somebody once told me that it was 10% content and 90% entertainment that you're up on the stage. And I don't know if it's quite that far, but that is a concept to think about. You know, when you're up there with enthusiasm, people feed off that. You know, the easiest way to get your classroom up and going is just your attitude. So if you're presenting, you really want to focus on bringing your best effort to engage the audience. And once you start getting the energy going in your audience, that starts feeding back to you. Once they get going, once they start asking questions, once they get active, you feed off that, and then your presentation gets that much better. It goes the same for the classroom as well. So when you are on the other side of that, when you're an audience member out there at, you know, maybe it's a professional development at your school, or it's at a conference and you thought the title was good, but maybe the content and delivery isn't going so well. What you need to do is maybe take note, obviously take note of the content. You know, that's why you went there to go with, but also look at the presentation style. I kind of mean that in a few different ways here. First and foremost, how is the presenter giving you this content? You know, is it in a slideshow? Is it a movie? I mean, most of them are slideshows. That's the way I do a lot of this stuff, because it's an easy way to share at the end, you know, just throw a bit.ly link together and share it with your audience afterwards or before, whatever. But also maybe look at the presentation style itself. Is it full of pictures? Is it full of personal experience? You know, take those ideas on the way it's being presented, and you can use that in your classroom as well. The style is what I'm talking about here. You know, I've been told to use either the 7-7 or the 6-6 rule when you're making a presentation slideshow. My personal preference is using Google Slides just because it's cloud-based and I can always get to it. Plus, I can, if I'm quickly thinking something, I can make an edit on my phone no matter where I am by just using the app. So that's what I recommend, but to each their own. At the school where I work at, our students typically use Keynote by Apple. Some of them do use Slides by Google, and they also have PowerPoint available to them as well from Microsoft. So that's a whole different discussion on what we should be teaching the kids, which my thought is teach the skills, not the tool. Anyways, so the 7-7 or 6-6 rule. Throughout college, when I was in my undergrad, there were a lot of presentations put together by students and faculty members and everything there. And one thing that I absolutely could not stand, and still to this day, I hate it when I'm sitting in a session and somebody's reading directly off the slides. I almost take offense to it. Like, you're insulting my intelligence and saying that I cannot read, but that's kind of selfish on my own. You know, people are nervous and maybe they've never presented before. So that's what I'm coming here to tell you about is, if you haven't heard of the 7-7 or 6-6 rule, that simply means you should have no more than 7 lines or 6 lines on a slide, and no more than 7 words or 6 words per sentence or per line on your slide. And typically, I like to have a picture on every slide, if at all possible. That usually helps break it up, plus gets more colors in there and helps engage the audience there with something that's pleasing to the eye, so to say. So if you're going to be making slideshow presentations for your classroom, or if you're going out and doing presentations, add color in there. Find something that pops. You know, anytime you can add in a picture, you know, that helps. When I was making presentations in my classrooms, a lot of times I added pictures that may not have had anything to do with the content area, but some sort of mnemonic device. Like, can't think of one off the top of my head here, but it would be a picture that would, you know, add in, maybe play off one of the words in that slide. And that's just a way of helping kids have another device. You know, maybe they're going to take the test or they're writing down something about, and then that picture will pop on their mind, and then they'll remember that slide that we were talking about during that class. And next thing I want to talk to you about when it comes to making professional development your own is finding your passion. For me, that was educational technology. You know, going through the classroom and everything, I've always been that kind of nerdy guy that had the computers, that worked at a local retail store fixing computers and everything. But it wasn't until I got out of the classroom and got into a position where that was my all day, every day responsibility that I really found that it is what I want to do with the rest of my life, is finding ways to get technology integrated into lessons, get it out there. So that is something I ask you to do. What is it that gives you that drive, that motivation to go, wow, I really want to do this in my class? It could be a content area. It could be educational technology. It could be developing curriculum. Whatever it is, you have to find what works for you. Once you find your passion, when you are invested and interested in a specific area, that's when your attention and desire to learn more just skyrockets. At least that's what worked for me. When I found educational technology and I was able to focus my time on that, it's what I do all day, every day now. Obviously, I have time for my family and everything. But in my free moments, I find my mind going back to, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. So once you find what it is you're looking for, what it is that drives you, I can almost guarantee that there is a Twitter chat for it. If you're not on Twitter, you should get on Twitter. Even if you don't post, or I'm sorry, tweet anything out ever, you can be what's called a lurker. Now, what a lurker does is they just scroll through on Twitter. They find the chats and they just read the different comments from everyone. They look at the different resources that are being shared. And they just take that all in. And that's perfectly fine. But what I think you'll end up figuring out is you can build relationships pretty easily on Twitter. You'll make these connections nationwide, heck, even worldwide, to bring stuff back to your classroom. But it only takes a minute to create an account and get on there. And you don't even have to put in a profile picture. You can just leave it as the egg. That's fine. But I highly recommend you get on Twitter. All teachers should be on there so that you can find and learn more about specific areas. They have what's known as Twitter chats. And these are hashtag something something ed chat. So there will be like new teacher chats, or there'll be social studies or second grade or fifth grade, or one of my favorites is Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern is the Catholic Ed Chat, which is just a bunch of Catholic educators from across the country coming together and sharing ideas. So if there isn't a chat, you can easily make one and just find it date and time that works and start reaching out to people and seeing if they're available at that time to start a conversation of your own and just share ideas. So find your passions, and that will help accelerate you in what it is that you want to move forward with. I highly recommend that for everybody. And that's it for this episode. So hope you take something away. Hope you go out and find what it is that drives you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Magic Potion Podcast. This podcast was created using Anchor FM. Please subscribe and leave comments with your thoughts and ideas from the classroom. Until next time, get out there and make it happen.